Canva presents stories to keep you up at night. It was an ordinary work day until...
The Singapore presentation is at
3 a.m.
The office was shocked.
That's when we sleep.
Maya made it less scary with Canva.
I'll just record my presentation so Singapore can watch it anytime.
Record and present anytime with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
SaaS management and RMM 2.0. Where is this industry going? An interview with the CEO of Nuvolex, Brian Hemmel, and we talk about a wide range of subjects. This is a bonus episode of The Business of Tech. Tell me a little bit about Nuvolex and you and what you guys are up to.
Well, Dave, thanks for having me. Nuvolex is an ISV out of Palo Alto, California, so kind of the heart of the valley, Silicon Valley. And we built what I call a multi-tenant XaaS management platform, targeting the service providers, so MSPs, SIs. And basically what all that means is we built a platform that heavily automates provisioning, deprovisioning, and daily administration. Today for all things Microsoft Cloud, so M365 Azure, Intune, and all that, but going well beyond that. The platform is really intended for service providers to make it really easy for them to remediate the service requests that come in every day through their service desk, but really focus around the cloud, right? Around public cloud. So it would be the cloud version of maybe what you would consider what an RMM tool.
Okay. So the context for listeners is you pinged me with exactly the kind of catnip that gets my attention. So for all you, if any of you PR people out listening is come to me with a forward thinking set of statements, that's what perks my attention. You threw me a blog, which I've included the link in the show notes and description here for those listening, that was talking about multi-SaaS management. And the thinking you have, and I wanted to start with this idea of the context, where you'd said the COVID-19, the accelerant that we keep talking about, caused service providers to quickly realize there was no longer any reason to continue to recommend anything on premises to their customer base. Everything could be done in the cloud, and you meant everything. So before we get into multi-SaaS, are you confidently declaring like, on-premises is dead, gone forever?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the reason being is that everything has their natural life, right? And it really depends on the organization and how they view cloud and their rate of change and what they're willing to do and the partners they work with. I think it's inevitable that a majority of the world will run on cloud over time. You know, the question is nobody really knows what that time is. And also, too, it depends on the organization. I mean, some orgs, they feel the need to keep certain things on-premise. Other orgs are like, really, there's no need for me to keep an on-premise environment up and running when everything I need to do from an operational standpoint in my organization, I can do it in the cloud. So if it's easier for you, it's easier for me. Why wouldn't we make that transition now?
That's fair. But anything new is likely just to be cloud. Because there's,
I mean, it will, right? I mean, I believe that because it can be, and it's just you're removing a lot of what I consider to be kind of traditional on-premise administrative complexity for the customer and the service provider. So the cloud has the ability to make everyone's lives a hell of a lot easier from a pure administration standpoint.
But I think what's then happening is that this accelerant, the move we've had huge cloud adoption this calendar year, 2020, we can definitely say that's all ramped up. We're seeing explosive growth on that through everybody to work from home. Everyone's connecting through things to the cloud. And you've then offered that the entire IT community has come to the stark realization that RMM vendors or a new category of independent service vendor, ISV, needs to help organize administration of a cloud managed world. So I'm the first one to go, absolutely. I 100% am on board with this. But what needs to happen here? What's the piece, the gap that you think is missing?
Well, it's a couple of things, right? Number one, the service provider community, and for this conversation, we'll just use MSPs to make it simple. they've always had a set of tools that they rely on to manage their customer, right? And all the stuff that their customers are consuming from an IT perspective. Now they find themselves moving more and more of their customers into these different workloads, whether it's M365 or Slack or Box or whatever. It's like, hey, it'd be really cool if I had kind of this easy, you know, single pane of glass tool to manage all these different workloads that are in the cloud, kind of like I had on prep, you know? And we kind of term that what we call cloud RMM, for lack of a better way to say it. But it's the concept of remote management of cloud-based applications. And, you know, when you look at those two worlds, in the world of traditional RMM and what we call cloud RMM, the entities in terms of what is to be managed on a regular basis change, right? I mean, it goes from a lot of this infrastructure-based, you know, IT stuff that needs to be managed to really more around user lifecycle management. The users and the applications they're consuming, because all these applications are running on some infrastructure, whether it's Azure, AWS, whatever it is. So the concept of having a bunch of infrastructure that they need to pay attention to kind of really doesn't apply as much. There may be situations where you have, whether it's AD servers or some specific service dedicated to certain things that's unique to that organization. But in general, from a standard operating procedure, you know, a lot of stuff goes away. And so what historically, I think, as I look back, is what has been important and what needs to be managed in an organization, I feel like there's just a really, really big shift happening. And, you know, I also feel in talking with all the MSPs we talk to, it's like, they kind of look back and say, hey, you know, you guys, we've been using your tools forever. We love them, but we need your tools to do the following things. And what do you got? You know?
That's, and, I mean, I think that's the question, because so I say this, you call it the stark realization. I'll go, yeah, but we haven't had this for years and we've needed it. Why haven't we had it before? Why has this been, why don't we have it yet?
I think there's no major, when I say major, catalyst to drive a new behavior. And I, you know, everybody, you know, probably myself included, beats COVID to death, but I mean, the world has changed in terms of how people work, and remote is the new norm. And it's quite honestly, I believe it's not changing back. I would even argue that, you know, people say, well, you know, there'll be a hybrid model. Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, there'll be some component of that, but you're not going to see things going back to the way they were. My virtual organization can adopt that has no on-premise component that can be much more easily managed in a remote workforce. That's what we're going to use. And literally, I don't know what you can't get that you historically have leveraged on-prem that does now exist in the cloud. So what's the point?
You stated, making the statement that the RMM vendors are a new category.
Yeah.
All right. Which is it? Which is going to do this?
So let me answer it this way. There are obviously guys starting to pop up in our world and what we do, guys like us. I personally think the RMM guys are best positioned to support this under ideal circumstances, meaning they have the technology.
Right.
I believe it's theirs to lose, their business to lose, because they already have the customers. They're already using their tools to remote manage. But the question becomes, how many of them are equipped and have the tools now or in the near future to solve what is becoming a much, much bigger problem today? And it's not going to slow down. So I don't know if it's a direct answer to your question, but there is a, I believe, a significant inflection point market right now. And it's very disruptive to that world. And some of the guys in that world of traditional RMM are going to be able to transition. The question is, how many? And will they be able to do it soon enough?
Okay, I'll make the prediction then, and you can tell me where the stumbling points would this be. So I believe the answer to that question is zero. I believe that the established RMM players can't, because they're unable to deal with the innovator's dilemma on this and deal with the dips to their existing revenue, the amount that they've got to transfer from their existing revenue. They're going to have to, you know, sacrifice themselves to innovate to the next pieces. And particularly if they've taken PE money or they're public, their ownership structure simply won't allow that. So my statement is None of them are going to make it. I think they're going to get disrupted by an ISV. And I guess rather than make you sort of, you know, challenge me or discount, I'll phrase it this way. What would be the conditions that allow them to make that jump and make it?
It would be interesting to hear the conversations going on in all these boardrooms. They have to see this. They have to see this. This is a significant point, I believe, in all these organizations' lives in this particular industry. I really just feel the market shifted really quick. And you're right. You're 100% right where the new world of, you know, and I'm by no means an RMM expert, but is how we think about remote management and tools for service providers. It's just a different model too. It's not just a different product. It's a different business model. It's, you know, the traditional model, I question whether that can sustain itself in this new world of 2.0. I don't know. And the reality is, you know, a lot of great companies have cannibalized existing businesses to get to that new world of how business is done in the next generation of products and technologies. And that's a tough thing to do, you know, in terms of making that decision. That's not something that you can do lightly as an organization, because of what's at stake. But then you have to ask yourself the question, what if I don't?
Right. Well, that is the big question. Now, in this case, service providers are actually going to be, you know, they're also stuck right now. So they're waiting for this gap to get filled in. What do you, if you've come up with this idea of RMM 2.0, and I'm going to ask on this a little bit, like, what does it need to do from your perspective to meet this gap?
So when I think of RMM 2.0, I really feel like it's an environment that an RMM vendor would provide, where if I'm a service provider and I'm dealing with any customer, depending on the customer and what workloads they're managing or what resources they're managing, to me, you know, RMM 2.0, or what I call also hybrid RMM, which I should be able to jump back and forth between those two worlds and manage what I need to match from that same pane of glass.
Sure.
I shouldn't care. Like if I have, you know, one customer that has everything in the cloud, I should be able to, from that same pane of glass, manage all the applications that their users are consuming and whatnot, whether it's devices, infrastructure, applications. But, you know, I have another customer that has a bunch of resources still on-prem. I can just go from one customer to the next customer and start managing the on-prem environment with simple mouse clicks. To me, that's RMM 2.0, that's hybrid RMM, but it's like you're unifying those worlds. You know, you have to be the bridge for those. You know, to me, ideal, because if you talk to service providers, they don't want to manage 20 tools. Right. Give me a tool that integrates these worlds, unifies these worlds, simple to use, hand off to my service desk guys, remediate majority service requests, no matter what customer, no matter what environment they're in. Push buttons, remediate, move on, you know? And yeah, maybe it's a bit of nirvana. And oh, by the way, put a layer of security on top of that to protect my customer data, you know, protect from internal threats, external threats. You know, RMM 2.0 to us is, it's a big platform. It's a big play. And to me, that also keeps your partners from venturing off to find other platforms to do a piece of work that I believe could easily be handled by the RMM vendors.
Yeah. I think you've sort of said it well too, that this is a nirvana and a target more than an achievable goal. I think the idea, these tools are about reducing complexity. If you take, and cloud opens up so much more complexity, because you're going to add, you know, 5 to 10 times the number of providers that you might have used versus an on-premises solution. So I may not get to the nirvana of one perfect pane of glass, you know, besides the browser, but if I've still reduced by a factor of two, by a factor of three, by a factor of, right, you're still getting a whole lot closer and can do the management necessary.
The good news about this market in general, the MSP market, is you're selling to a bunch of technical people, which is great, right? Because it almost, in a weird way, it's like, hey, it kind of forgives some sins, right? If your product's not perfect, get a bunch of really smart people on the other end. They're usually like, don't worry about it. You know, they all have this attitude like, we're really smart, we'll figure it out. But give me something to help me get closer, you know? And that's a cool thing about what I love about the community is you're working with a bunch of really sharp people that get it. And as long as you can show them that there is a path and you're making some significant strides to getting to that end goal, it's a great community to sell to because they want to get you there. They want to help you get there. So it's a cool market to be in. And I feel like you have to have this vision. You have to do this. You know, I mean, you've got, like, as an RMN vendor, I got to keep these customers, you know, every one customer that veers off your platform to go find a solution, a different application to manage the cloud, is one customer you got to worry about if they will ever come back.
If this is the big direction and this is the way that it's all going, what would be your one piece of advice then for a solution provider to prepare or to help, if you know, or to gear up to make multi-SaaS management, you know, that closer to a fully achieved goal? What's what the solution providers can do?
By at least having the capability to manage the Microsoft stack, you know, cross-tenant and automation in conjunction with the with your existing environment and your customers, and you know, leveraging RMM capabilities in that world is a good start. But even if you look at the MSP community and what Microsoft's doing, you know, it's only a matter of time, you know, where the service margins are dropping and reselling, you know, Microsoft licenses and whatnot. And, you know, everybody sees Microsoft as it's an interesting thing because, you know, you want to get close to them, but you don't want to get run over by them. And they're getting a lot more capable these days and all, you know, in these areas. So there's a lot of great products, a lot of great ISVs out there that build best-in-class technologies that also MSPs are excited about to bring to their customers. That all has to get managed. Yeah. You know, stuff is getting really complex. And we think about a service provider. And at the end of the day, if they're going to make money, it's real simple. What you deliver the service for versus what you charge for the service, you try to make that gap as big as possible. Which means you have to drop your service delivery costs to the point where the only way you can do that is through service automation. So, you know, service automation is at the core of that next generation. And I truly believe that if RMM vendors find a way to uniquely tie those worlds together in a way that makes it almost seamless for the service provider, man, I just think it's going to keep doing.
Well, I'll close by saying I think it's going to happen. The question is who's going to do it, and that's
the world. Stake.
Right, there's a lot at stake here. There's a clearly identified need, and those that step in and deliver here are going to be the ones that win. But the good news from my perspective is that either way, the service providers will win because somebody's going to do it, going to deliver the capability, and then all the providers win on the back end.
Yeah, I mean, look, guys like us are out there, we're building that next generation technology. I mean, we can't solve your on-prem management stuff. There are guys that have already done that, but we sure as hell are going after aggressively that next generation of the cloud world managing multi-SaaS. I mean, look at Gartner, the SaaS numbers compared to everything else are just ridiculous. I mean, it's a beast. It's only getting bigger. And man, this stuff is getting more and more complex to manage. If you want that service desk to deliver on those managed services, you know, do remediation, you got to get in something easy to use and push button and heavily automated. And ideally, if you can marry all those things together, that's, I would not want to compete against that company.
Thanks for listening to this bonus episode of the Business of Tech. I'll talk to you again tomorrow.